Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining a community of poets, of writers, of lovers of the spoken word from around the world. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the October 18th, 2019 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm here with the man who keeps everything moving, a man whose praises need to be sung more often, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thank you. How are you?
Doing all right. There's a lot of, and I'm sorry to be saying this on the air, there's a little bit of electrical interference going on. Are you noticing this?
Are you getting a buzz?
Yeah, getting a bit of a buzz.
Hang on.
Is it?
No, it's okay.
Oh, that actually was totally it. I'm sorry. Okay.
You're fine.
All right. So that was that was JT's personal fan. I'm so sorry, my friend.
No. It's okay. No, actually.
At least you have a fan.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Hey, welcome, everybody. We're so happy that you're here to join us this evening. We have a lot of cool stuff to do. We're going to be, one, doing another Studio X.
Yeah.
We're going to be premiering a single off our new Edgar Allan Poe album called Tales from the Shining Sea. And we're going to be unveiling the identity of this month's Poet of the Month. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be that good, I promise
you.
Oh,
yeah.
No, if you haven't been following, we've been doing shows on Wednesdays as well, and it's been really interesting. What have your thoughts been on the Wednesday shows so far? We've done, what, three of them now?
Three of them. They're telling.
Yeah, we're learning a lot.
We are. I think we're getting some ideas, but it's nice. It feels a little more, I don't know, as odd as it sounds, feels a little more intimate.
It does feel a little more intimate, yeah. But it's also because it's smaller.
Right, it's a smaller audience.
A small, intimate gathering of four of your personal friends hanging out in a very small pantry.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. It's hard to fit a guitar in that pantry, but it's...
It is. I am impressed with you playing it above your head, though.
Thank you. I've been working on that.
Yeah.
By the way, can I tell a really weird story based on this?
Sure.
I just heard this story, and this is... I don't know how to wrap my head around this. This is the truth. Apparently, my father, when he was younger, tried playing a guitar with his teeth, and he chipped his tooth.
Okay.
Just one tooth. This is way before I was born, when he was younger. A while later, he tried doing it again. Other tooth. Chipped that tooth, too. So he went to the dentist, and the dentist shortened his teeth. My father had a tooth shortening surgery.
Yeah, yeah, that happens.
I heard that. I'm like, what? You had a tooth reduction surgery? So there we go. So now we know that playing guitars with your teeth can lead to chipped teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never tried to do that, honestly.
This is good.
I don't really think it's really necessary, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
If I only had, if I had one hand to, maybe I'd do it. Although I feel like I could attach a pick with tape to my nose.
I was going
to
say, you could probably do it with your nose a lot easier.
I've learned to play piano with my nose while wearing a sombrero, I will have you know. And that's hard.
Okay.
Chariots of Fire. It's amazing. All right.
I've got to hear this. We're going to have to place this down sometime.
We'll do it. We'll do it. So we've got a lot of great stuff going on, like I said. Now, before we get into it, excuse me, I just have a few things I'm going to, just some housekeeping stuff. One, through the end of October 31st, we're accepting submissions for our World Poetry Open Mic Anthology. We've already received a bunch of submissions, and we thank you so much for that. We did get them, and, you know, of course, we'll be in contact to let you know we got them, and everything's good. We're just kind of letting everything come into the inbox first. And that will be going towards our anthology, which will come out kind of early December, and it'll be a great, you know, Christmas gift, whatever. If you want to recommend it to people, hey, if you want to buy something that has my work in it, there you go. And all the proceeds come and they help pay for the show over the next year. And so this is really a thing that kind of helps us sustain this and keep it all going. We really appreciate your support in your work. We think it's a fun way to do it. Also, a week from today, the official full release of Tales from the Shining Sea, all of the songs, all of the tracks. I've been working on this all day today.
Yes, he has. I've been at work and getting texts going, I'm stuck on this.
I'm working on this thing.
This is great. Yeah.
Look at this screen. It's nothing but EQ monitors.
Yeah.
That is absurd. Anyway. So we're working on that. We're so excited to put that out for you. And, of course, we'll have a special place where everybody from the show can listen to it and download it and stuff. And then, let's see. Oh, no, I think we've already talked about that. Yeah. So, you know what we should do, according to what you've written down?
Do you want to do that now or do you want to do the...
Well, remember, we want to do it in case someone's trying to find something to read.
That's true.
So okay. We'll do it now. We're going to now unveil the identity of our October 2019 Poet of the Month. Our Poet of the Month is a Poet of the Month. Poet of the Month. See, and now that was fantastic.
Just had to see if it could be done.
I was like, how many times can I say it? How many times will that thing play? And then I realized, oh, yeah, we're on the air. And maybe we shouldn't do this with other people being forced to listen. All right. So our POM for this month is Virgil. Virgil is an ancient Roman poet from the Augustan period. He wrote three of the most famous poems in Latin literature. The Eclogues, the Georgics, and the Aeneid. The number of minor poems, sometimes like Appendix, Virgiliana, are sometimes attributed to him. But he's written, the Aeneid is considered a national epic of ancient Rome since the time of its composition. It's modeled after Homer's Iliad and Odyssey. It follows the Trojan refugees as they struggle to fulfill their destiny and reach Italy, where the descendants Romulus and Remus found the city of Rome. His work has a wide and deep influence on Western literature, most notably Dante's Divine Comedy, in which Virgil appears as Dante's guide through hell and purgatory. Thus the clue of Crossing the River Styx, the guide to cross the River Styx. So I will put that up under Poet of the Month, so you'll be able to kind of learn more about Virgil. But that is our October 2019 Poet of the Month. JT loves his theme songs, I will tell you. All right. So before we get into the call-in segment, we're gonna do our rules very quickly. Number one, no hate speech. We never have done it on the show. We never have. We never will. Number two, please skew PG-13 if you can. We're not in the business of censoring, but we do want to make this a friendly atmosphere. So if it's art, we might not jump in. But if it gets gratuitous, we reserve the right to jump in and recommend that it's read maybe at a later time. Rule number three, please be prepared with your poem when we come on the line. It's just a respect thing. It helps things move along. Number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. That just really helps us kind of monitor the show and keep it going. We might talk longer than that, but just, you know, ballpark, keep your work around there. And number five is for JT and myself. We love your comments. We love your suggestions. However, we forget them in the midst of doing the show. There's so much to do. So please email them to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or put them in the contact form at worldpoetryopenmic.net. All right. Anything you want to add, sir?
No, I think I'm good.
Think we're good?
Okay. Think we're good.
So we're going to be now heading to our first call segment. We need five unique callers at number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back here in the first segment. We have five great callers lined up, and we see somebody in the chat room who's not exactly sure what's going on. I'm going to quickly say it just so they can see it. It looks like Tony, and forgive me for saying it wrong, but Tony, we're going to have another segment here. We take five callers at a time. We've got five right now, but then when we do the second segment, which we're guaranteed, we'll let you know again. We'll put the number up and call in then. We'll make sure we get you, and we'll put you on the show. You're guaranteed a spot as long as you call in. Okay, so here we are in the first segment. Now, Dennis and George are at a writer's or the poet's meeting, right?
Yeah,
in Indiana.
Indiana, yeah.
And that is not a metaphor. He's going to a poet's meeting in Indiana,
hiking,
if you know what I mean.
Appalachian Trail.
Yeah. We really know they're moonshiners, and they're just kind of... You're going to Indiana.
They're making the run.
Yep, exactly.
Sorry.
There's no song about going to Indiana with the banjo on your knee, though.
I don't think there is, no.
Gone to Indiana with the banjo on my knee. Yeah?
Yeah, I don't think it works.
Well, it kind of does work. Okay. Anyway. All right, let's go now to the land of beautiful, amazing treats and scary vampires. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Hello, Jim.
Dilly dilly.
Nope, not a thing. buddy, how you doing today?
Hanging in there. Yesterday was kind of threw me for a loop with what happened.
I saw that online. Do you want to share it with everyone, or would you rather keep it private?
Well, what had happened is I was doing my normal routine, and I got to the guy's room. I was ready to go in and do the wipe down like I would normally do. Chapa was going at the same time, and that's when I found out that he had passed away that afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been about four or five hospice situations in my hall since I've started.
Yeah.
But every time that happened, the person passed away on my day off. And one, he actually got taken off of hospice, and he got transferred to another room last night. So but this is the first one to actually pass away on my shift.
Yes.
So you work in a hospital, it's inevitable.
Absolutely.
But it still hit me.
Of course. you know, JT's wife work in a hospital as well. You know, it's one of those inevitabilities. Doesn't mean it's easy, you know, in any respect. Well, we feel for you, buddy. Sorry that you, I'm sorry you're having to go through it, but it's inevitable. I know.
Yeah. Well, I'm learning to deal with things.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not going to be the last time this happens. So yeah.
I get it.
Well, on a more pleasant note.
Okay.
Some of the guys in my reenactment group are at the 155th anniversary of the Battle of Cedar Creek right now.
Okay.
So what I'm going to read is something that I wrote from a past reenactment I was at Cedar Creek. And it's for page... 31 of my book. Can you hear me? Okay. A Night in Virginia. Silence rules the realm beneath the canvas veil, sheltered from the howling wind buffeting the world outside in the lonely hours before dawn. I lay there still, the minstrels having bid goodbye, my breath hanging like a fog in the darkened air from the thrice-dead fire, as others in similar realms slumber in the arms of blissful dreams. End of poem. Sorry.
I really like that piece, Jim. I really do.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's an effective
I'll try and do one about the actual battle of Cedar Creek, if I ever am moved that way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it might be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Philip would like that one. It would be one of it would end up being a long poem.
Yeah.
So that'll be a real stretch for me.
Or you could just read it really slowly.
Well, if you really want me.
Yeah, see?
I
might read this fast.
See, I think there's a whole new genre of poetry waiting to be explored there, Jim.
Flash 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the introduction to my graduation speaker.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Peel was speaking, and the president of the school did the introduction. And everybody mocked him. It's like, and in conclusion, it's like the introduction was longer than the actual graduation address.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's kind of interesting around here, not very well known fact is the guys who created South Park come from this exact neighborhood that we live in.
Ah.
And there was a teacher at a high school nearby. The high school is called Heritage High School. And he used to go in and talk to everyone and be like, okay, everybody, take your books out and clean. And he would, you know, so they were parodying all of these people that they actually went to school with, to the point where people started saying, Mom, Dad, I want to transfer to Heritage so I can take classes from this guy.
Yep.
And it became, you know, it's one of those things. I think it's a pastime to mock your teachers for sure. Yep. Jim, I think I'm catching whatever you have.
You don't want to catch whatever I have.
Okay.
Because it's genetic.
Oh, yeah. All right.
That would even be stranger. So,
yeah.
All right.
It'll cause you to walk down the street and randomly go, dilly dilly.
Yeah. See, I really don't want that. That would be a cruel fate. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you, buddy. And we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you during the return.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. Now we're going to head to... That made no sense.
I was going to say that makes no sense.
It really doesn't. I've gone to Vancouver with the banjo on my knee. No. All right. Hello, let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia to visit with Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm happy we have a tune for British Columbia.
Finally now, right? Finally.
Finally, we're like a state.
I don't think we do have some songs about Colorado.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right. I used to sing a bunch of them. How do I not remember this?
I was going to say John Denver.
There's way more than that.
Oh, I know there is, but I'm just saying.
I'm sure there's some beautiful ones about Vancouver.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cynthia, how's it going?
You know what's funny? My reading on Wednesday, instead of singing a Vancouver song, we sang, I didn't sing, so I can't sing, but it would scare people. But the people who sang did Country Roads by John Denver.
Oh, no kidding.
So kind of funny that up in Vancouver, we're singing about Denver.
That is funny, isn't it? There's a, I remember seeing a video. A friend of mine went to China to study martial arts, and there was a guy standing at the bottom of the Wudong Temple with a PA system singing Country Road.
Oh, awesome. Everyone in our group was like, oh, people are remembering driving in Denver and stuff. And
that's so funny.
I'm gonna get going. I'm gonna read, I decided to, on the spur of the moment, read something by the poet of the month. And I didn't get a chance, like normally when I read something ancient that I don't know how to pronounce, I look up all the words first, but I didn't have time, so you're gonna have to bear with me a little bit.
Fair enough.
Okay, so this is by Virgil. It's 3 pages, but I think it will fit in under 5 minutes.
Sounds great.
Okay, so this is called The Storm. Spear haft reversed, he gave the hollow mountainside a stroke, and where a portal opened, winds and companies, as though trained for it, hurtled through to blow across the earth in hurricane. Over the sea, tossed up from the seafloor, east wind and south wind, then the wild southwest. With squall on squall came scudding down, rolling high combers shoreward. No one heard that cries of men and screech of ropes in rigging. Suddenly, when the storm cloud whipped away, clear sky and daylight from the Tukurian's eyes, and gloom of night leaned on the open sea. It thundered from all quarters as it lightened, flash on flash through heaven. Every sign portended a quick death to mariners. Aeneas on the instant felt his knees go numb and slack, and stretched both hands to heaven, groaning out, "Triply lucky were all those to whom death came before their father's eyes, below the wall at Troy. Bravest Danaan, Diomedes, why could I not go down when you had hit me and give up my life on Ilium's battlefield? Our Hector lies there, torn by Achilles' weapon. Sarpedon, our giant fighter, lies there, and the river Simois washes down so many shields and helmets, with strong bodies taken under. As he flung out these words, a howling gust from due north took the sail abuck and lifted wave tops to heaven. Oars were snapped in two. The prow sheered round and left them broadside on to breaking seas. Over gunwale and deck, a mountain of gray water crashed in tons. Men hung on crest to some a yawning trough, uncovered bottom, boiling waves and sand. The south wind caught 3 ships and whirled them down on reefs hidden mid-sea, called by Italians the altars. Razorbacks just underwater. The east wind drove 3 others from deep water into great shoals and banks, embedding them and ringing them with sand, a desperate sight. Before Aeneas' eyes, a toppling billow struck the Licinian's ship, Orontes' ship, full on the stern, knocking the steerman headfirst overboard. 3 times the eddying sea carried the ship around in the same place, until the rapid whirlpool gulped it down. A few men swimming surfaced in the welter. So did shields, planks, precious things of Troy. Leonice's good ship, brave Achates' ship, the ship that carried Abas and the one Elides sailed in hail in his great age, were all undone by the wild gale. Their seams parted and let the enemy pour in. During all this, Neptune became aware of hurly-burly and tempest overhead, bringing commotion to the still sea depth and nettling him. He lifted his calm brow above the surface, viewing the great sea, and saw a Niasu squadron far and wide, scattered over the water, saw the Trojans overwhelmed, the ruining clouds of heaven. Sorry, I'm just going to the next page. And saw his angry sister's hand in awe. He called to him east wind and south and said, "Are you so blindly sure what you were born for? How could you dare to throw heaven and earth into confusion by no will of mine and make such trouble? What you'll get from me, but first to calm the rough sea. After this, you'll pay a different penalty for your sins. Off with you. Give this message to your king. Power over the sea and the gaunt trident were never his by destiny, but mine. He owns the monstrous rocks, your home eastward. Let Aloas ruffle in that hall alone and lord it over winds in their shut prison." Before the words were out, he quieted the surging water, drove the clouds away, and brought the sunlight back. Simioth and Triton side by side worked to dislodge the grounded ships. Then Neptune with his trident heaved them away, opened the miles of shoals, tempered the sea, and in his car departed, gliding over the wave tops on light wheels. When rioting breaks out in a great city, and the rampaging rabble goes so far that stones fly, and incendiary brands for anger can supply that kind of weapon. If it so happens they look round and see some dedicated public man, a veteran whose record gives him weight, they quiet down, willing to stop and listen. Then he prevails in speech over their fury by his authority and placates them, just so the whole uproar of the great sea fell silent, as the father of it all, scanning horizons under the open sky, swung his team around and gave free rein in flight to his eager chariot. End poem.
Well, first
when
of
I
all,
I first chose it, I thought it was one page, and then I realized that it was three.
I applaud you for that, because that wasn't an easy one to read.
It was good, though.
It was done really well, and a great read. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And interesting to see that Hurley Burley was probably predates Shakespeare.
Isn't it interesting? And the of course, I think we've got to have some kind of concept of the people translating at what time they might have been translating as well.
Actually, that's true. Translated by Robert Fitzgerald, so maybe.
Yeah, so maybe so, but Hurley Burley. I mean, it's hard to find much use of that before Macbeth. But it's I'm sure. Well, I mean, with Shakespeare, you never know if he just made it up or not. To be honest with you, until you find out for sure. but either way, I think that's Virgil guy might have a future in poetry,
Mike.
And a great read there, Cynthia. Thank you for doing
and
that.
Thanks everyone for indulging me in a really long one.
We loved it. We loved it.
And talk to you next time.
Talk to you next time. Thank you, Cynthia. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Actually, I was going to say, hey, you know, there's been times we've done shows where people are still looking for the poems at the 8-minute and 30-minute mark. Well, hey, it's been a lot of years, man. It's been a lot of years.
Yeah.
We do 8 shows a year or something like that?
Yeah.
And, I mean, we've done 7 years. We're in the hundreds of shows, Mark.
This is awesome.
Isn't that crazy? All right, now we're going to head to Kentucky. I almost said Kentucky, Vancouver, British Columbia, which makes no sense. Let's just go to Philip in Kentucky. Hello, Philip. How are you, sir?
Most days I'm present, but some days not.
Well, some days I'm somebody else. I understand.
But one day I might be you, Michael.
You know, and I hopefully you do better than I do with this whole thing.
Oh, pshaw! Knock it off, you! Knock it off! That's you're fishing, my friend. I'll call you on your bluff. You're fishing. The way you sing that voice and all you do for us, you know, truly, I mean that. You know, fist bumps to the chest. You know, like you're the man.
I wasn't actually fishing, but I do appreciate that very much.
I know you weren't really. I just
I get all frustrated by, you know, there'll be times like, well, if someone else, hey, if anybody wants to possess this body and take it over and do something else, if you think you can do a better job, have at it, buddy.
You get frustrated. How else would I know that you're an artist, sir? I never know any artist who says they're not unhappy or not frustrated with something.
That's true. Don't they say that the psychological shadow is an imperative to be creative?
Right. If you're not tearing your own work apart, then what are you doing?
Exactly. You poser? If you don't wake up and you're like, you're a loser and everyone knows you're faking it.
Right. Get that stuff in perspective, yo.
Great point.
You've got me smiling, you got me blushing, and now I'll bring us all down with a poem. in preparation for the upcoming holidays, I'm trying to be preemptive. You know, I know we're supposed to be happy, but I tell you, I'm like, you know, it's always the blues for me during the holidays. That's what I'm doing. Holiday Etiquette is the title, broken into three sections. So Holiday Etiquette, here we go. 1. Sat at patriarchal tables, wreathed around with pleasant faces, robust, slightly red, all blood related, jawing on about their favorite sport, stock portfolios, but never art. Quietly troubled, perhaps unnerved by objects they'll never understand, prized outside money's clutches. 2. Herald their eternal savior, sharpened elbows at rest across the thousand thread count ivory, picturesque as their wedding bed, spite and unease at foreign words Keter and Malkuth, nonsense their guffaws, their shallow honey blushes. 3. Political harumphs and bombast, minor spills, gravy sloshes from the porcelain lip of a broad gravy boat weighed by poor ballasts, clumsily handled dishes, little blemish, red and bright where cranberry sauce seeps crimson into the lacy white. And there it is. And I tell you, Michael.
I'm sorry, sir.
No, you caught me there. No, I'm just showing you my own kind of like paranoia. And you know, I'm going right at Keter and Malkuth. And, you know, like to me, like that's like woo for me. That's like when I get like, you know, fear and trembling. And then you speak up and I'm like, oh, no.
No,
I'm going to get struck by lightning finally, you know.
Well, you know.
The powers that be are going to get me.
Oh, my gosh. No, what it really is, I just didn't want. In case it was cut off, I didn't want you to have only shared part of that piece because we were loving it. And JT was telling me what he's going to do is after the show's over, he'll just cut out the part that faded out and me getting on again with you. He'll just put them together. So you'll be able to hear the whole thing in the replay.
Thank you. You're more than kind, and I smile at you both. And I'm just happy there's even more than one other person besides myself listening to me.
Hey, we're more than happy to listen to your work. Thank you, sir.
All right, cheers. I look forward to you singing tonight and the return engagement. All right.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers.
And that was Philip Kahn from Kentucky. This is solid work, man. There's some really solid stuff tonight. I mean,
there is.
Cynthia's Reed, Jim's piece. Phillip's piece. We're not doing too bad here. And you know where we're going? We've got two more callers in the segment, and they're both just complete bosses. So I think I'm looking forward to this. Let's go to Mary in Arizona. Hello, Mary. Hello. Welcome back.
Yeah, everything went downhill just now.
Not at all. We are so happy to hear your voice. How's everything down in Arizona?
We have fall. Fall is good here.
All right.
This is why we moved to Arizona. Ask anyone.
The fall?
Yes, it's about 80 every day, up to 90 maybe. You know, and the evenings are 60 to 70. You know, nothing too cold. We don't want anything too cold here.
Mary, I got to say, you know, as it starts to get colder, I start thinking about that going, yeah, Arizona does sound pretty good, doesn't it?
See? I'm telling you, between now and Christmas, this place is gangbusters.
I imagine. Although I hear there's jaguars showing up in Arizona. What's going on with that?
I have no idea about okay. those things.
Well, if you have I one, try to snag one as a pet for me, okay?
All right. All right. I'm going to go back in time only because I'm going to reminisce with you.
Okay.
This is something I wrote a while back. I gave the setting as the year 2014, sometime in the early spring in Wisconsin. I'll just add to that. After 13 years in bed, my lovely second daughter showed me how to smoke weed out of a pipe, and that gave me the strength to find my way out of pain, because that's what weed did for me. So I moved to Arizona where I wouldn't have to do it illegal. And now that's why I have a life at all, and I'm not in bed in the curdled position or on narcotics and all the other things that people take for pain. So I'm an advocate of those things, and I'm going to read this thing that I wrote way back then. My daughters. The name of it is Things My Daughters Might Have Said Had They Thought of It. Mama, sit down. We want to talk with you, please. Okay, love, what is it you wish to tell me? Mama, something's happened to you because you're so different now. We know you stopped all the medicines you took all those years because now you found weed and it actually takes away the pain that you always felt, even with those narcotics. And we're so happy to see you out of bed and playing piano and singing again. So happy and soulfully, and we're so thankful. We see you reading now and engaged with folks and striving. That makes us so happy. But you cry a lot now, too. Before, you hardly cried at all. You still laugh and tell jokes and make us laugh. We love that wittiness, even when it gets a bit sardonic and ironic with its sad attachment to our lives with Daddy, and to some extent, but differently, with Grandma. And all that entailed, we worry you feel you've given up or are so ashamed that you stayed with Daddy so long with that damage to all of us. But we know you just didn't know how to get out of it with us at your side and in your life as strong and independent thinkers and women. We know what it took to endure what you did, and we're so glad that fate presented you with an option when our baby brother died. How could we see peace ahead in a time like that? We always felt loved with you at our sides, but oh, we missed you all those times you were sick and in the hospital again. We'll love you forever and ever, and placing kindness in our hearts. Even in your sadness, we felt safe and happy with you reading to us or taking us to plays or on hay rides or anything that would bring joy into our lives. Joys to be embraced in this life, along with all the reality. We try to see ahead with you now and wish for our own futures as well as yours. A trail where knowledge is power and never to be afraid of it. That learning makes us more whole, however and whenever we can truly find it in our hearts and minds. And that journey has to remain the most important. Don't feel bad for being human, not knowing how to deal with abuse and neglect. You never envisioned. That's human too. You don't need to be forgiven, see, Mama. You never failed to be it. Our mom. So many people never get to know the feeling of being loved and nurtured. Please try to go on with your life. Find some peace and happiness between all your books and musical cliff notes. Love and kindness, death prevail. You taught us that. Affectionately, your daughters, Yasmin, Summer, and Iman. They were then 21, 18, and 16. And they are now 27, 24, and 22. I'm so proud of them. End poem. Oh, I'm proud of them.
That's beautiful, Mary. I love that. I love that. And
it's been a journey.
Well, I got to tell you, too, you know, I, as someone who, you know, I haven't had 13 years, but I've had my own set of experiences because of, you know, cancer and all that stuff with different types of pain medication and real pain. And, you know, and we live in Colorado where it's totally legal. And I've got to say, it is, anything that is a natural plant-based kind of thing, it just runs circles around all that other stuff. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, God bless people that don't need anything, but if you have pain,
yeah,
why do you want to have Big Pharma on your team? They aren't on your team. They've never been on your team.
Exactly. And I just you know, really applaud the whole thing, and I really do, you know, kind of applaud everything you've been going through and working with. That's great.
That means a lot to me for you to say that. Validation is a lot of what we need in life, and I get validated here. I feel good. Validated.
Great.
Thanks for letting me join in, you poets, you.
Hey, we love you, Mary. We're happy to have you.
Yeah, next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Thank you. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona. Boy, they have some good stuff here.
Yeah.
All right. Now, from there, no, a heavyweight in her own regard. Let's go to, Mama, you're going to have to give us a call back. We're having that Skype issue again. I'm so sorry about that. If you could give us a call right back, we'll take it live. All right. From Cleveland, Ohio, here is Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama.
Yes.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling back so fast. That was really perfect timing. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, I'm going to do my piece because the buffering and stuff is going a little nuts today.
Oh, sure.
I heard a part of Mary's piece, and it was beautiful, passionate, and she's right about a lot of things. That I think she was speaking about the natural remedies over pharmaceutical, and it is helping a lot of people. But I would also say that, you know, get in on the ground floor if you want to invest in anything, because it's opening up for a lot of people that are already involved in it. They're going to get left out, because when they decide they want to do something and that it's okay, then by that time, you know, the people that really already knew it was okay and was trying to, you know, spread the knowledge get kind of left out. So,
sure.
The name of this it's called In Harm's Way. And it's on my page, When Poets Speak Out. And it goes like this. Living in the chaos, mental illness, at large. Who's on first? No one's in charge. The bases are loaded. The content of his character is showing, proving him impeachable. He is unteachable. His God mind unreachable. Pretending to be all knowing while his ignorance is glowing. Lives shattered, innocence placed in the way of harm, patriots and soldiers unarmed, guardians of the universe stand steadfast, they have heard no alarm, standing bravely, trustingly, sold and placed in the arms of harm. Tears fall, tails tall, harming us all. Must they, we all stay in harm's way? In peace.
Very well done, Mama. Very well done.
Thank you.
We really, really appreciate your work and the, you know, just everything you bring to us. Thanks so much for that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the platform, and you know I love you guys. I tell you every week, nothing's changed.
Well, good. I'm glad. Now I do want to. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I just feel a little upset because we just think it's gonna be over. Every day you wake up, it's the same chaos. It's just new. Weapons of mass distraction.
I understand.
I mean,
mass distraction. You got it right there. That's the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody stay distracted, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Life does another trick and it's causing really a lot of harm these days.
Very much so.
I would not want my son somewhere.
Oh, man, me either. You know, but I got to tell you, Mama, we appreciate you. We're here together, and you know the world is noisy and can be rough out there. But you know, let's stick together and do what we can. Okay.
That's what we're trying to do. As poets, we try to do that.
That's
and
right.
I appreciate that. I appreciate the dedication, and to all the poets, I love you out there. Thank you. Bye bye.
Goodbye, Mama. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Place we still got to go and try some food, man.
Well, yeah, when we get going.
Well, we've got, so that's one thing people don't know. We've got a booking agent now.
Yes, we do.
We got someone who's going to start booking us going places and actually performing. Excited.
Yes.
To start going to actually do World Poetry Open Mics live.
That would be awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Great.
I'm so excited to do this stuff, man.
Man.
Wait, things are expanding now.
Yes.
And, you know, in ways that we can't even really talk about yet, probably.
Yep. Well, yeah, we can.
Because things aren't really ready yet. But if it happens, it'll be good. It'll be really good.
Yeah.
And so
it's going to be good stuff.
Absolutely. But let's focus on now. It's great now also. I'm so grateful for everything we have now. That was a great first segment. We're going to do a second segment now. And anybody who wants to call in for the first time can. Then we'll do a Studio X segment. And, yeah. So, JT, are you ready for us to do the call-in, or do you want me to... Okay, we good?
Yeah.
Okay, so anybody who hasn't called in yet who wants to share, the number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
We have room for 5 unique callers in this segment. You can also call on Skype using Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this, I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock, when you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here in the second segment of the evening. We've got 2 great poets lined up here. But I also should mention at the end of this segment, as we're getting ready to head into Studio X, we're going to have JT play and premiere the kind of single of Annabelle Lee from our new album that comes out a week from today called Tales from the Shining Sea, which is readings of Edgar Allan Poe with new music in the background. We're actually really excited about this. But before we get into any of that, let's just head to Connecticut and go straight to Barbara.
Here.
Good evening, Barbara. How are you? Oh, Barbara. Oh, Barbara. We're listening to you.
Barbara,
listen to
you?
Us.
Hello.
Hey, Barbara. How's it going?
It's going good. Baked chocolate chip cookies today.
Well, hey. JT, did you get to do anything that good today?
No.
Oh, come on, man.
I made tacos.
You know what I did today? You know what I did? This is one thing. So I was working on the album. And this is one of my vices here, Barbara. I made antipasta. So I had prosciutto, I had really good cheese and stuff like that, sparkling
that
water.
That sounds good.
And that's what I was having for lunch while working on this other stuff. So to me, that's a win. That's so that's what I did.
Yeah, well, you know, I decided I was getting small hints that people wanted chocolate chip cookies in my house.
Small hints, people going, get us chocolate chip cookies! Yes.
It's time for chocolate chip cookies.
Well, maybe that's cookies. A hint. Maybe there's a hint there.
There was a little hint. And Monday, I'm going to an open mic. Well, let me read my poem and then we can talk.
Okay.
My poem is, I won't tell you where it comes from. I wrote it on, it's under a pseudo name and in the garden. And I won't tell you what pseudonym it is, but everyone who's read the poems in the garden knows it is. But if anyone who's listening is from the garden, then my secret is out. But anyway, it's called When we bid adieu to someone, we got to see the harbingers of their loss on our life, and the prompts were harbinger and adieu. And it starts with this quote, which was part of the prompts too. When sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions. And that's a quote from Hamlet, William Shakespeare. Okay. And goes like this. As Shakespeare said, sorrows come in battalions. One marches after the other. And sometimes, as we try to sort it out, the loss has no time to settle and become a weight before another loved one passes out of our life. The newspapers and online news announce a celebrity death, and sometimes the same day we hear of another well-known person who has gone from the earth. We wait for the third name to drop, proclaiming these things happen in threes. But these last ones are only names to us, and faces seen on a screen who have entertained us or come into our lives in a superficial manner. Not the heart-wrenching loss of your beloved or the gut-wrenching passing of a relative known since the womb. So too is the change of seasons as fall turns to winter and the heat of the sun wanes as temperature drops, causing leaves to color and die as they waft down in their death spirals toward the waiting ground. Trees bereft of leaves remind us of the dying, whose lives, as they slowly waste away, give harbingers of the fate we all must face. The wan faces and the listless eyes are the barren trees so stark against the sky, for they are the harbingers of the end of fall, when we bid adieu to the splendor of the foliage and embrace the season yet to come. So too, as we bid adieu to a loved one, there are harbingers of desolation and sorrow, yet, as we have come to know each year, winter brings its own joys of cozy fires and warm woolens. Sorrow for a loved one is like the seasons. Though we enter in winter, as we accept more, we come to an understanding of that sadness. And soon we are in early spring as emotions laid to rest resurface. For some, this takes a lifetime to happen, but this awakening gradually causes blossoms of happiness to appear. And finally, without knowing, though the harbingers of this should have advised you, spring has burst through, and you are smelling at the sunshine. The warmth of spring sun creates its own joy, and your heart melts as each day it gets stronger. The pain is still there, but you are alive, and life has brought you through it to bloom again. End poem.
I think it's very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And it's in the garden of poetry and prose under a pseudonym. I'm actually masquerading as this character. So.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I can't really say it.
Well, don't. It's a secret.
Anyway, we're having a masquerade in the garden of poetry and prose, and everybody is welcome to come and see if you can unmask it.
Well, I mean, now you just kind of outed it to every... Barbara, we got to talk about these spoilers here, because this last week, someone wrote a ghost story or actually a Halloween nightmare story, and I hadn't read it yet, but I'm scrolling down, and you know how it'll highlight sometimes comments of people you know?
Yes.
The first thing I saw was a comment by Barbara that said exactly how it ended, and I responded, "Spoilers, Barbara, spoilers, come on!" No, it's not your fault that comment was the only thing I saw.
I'm assuming that anybody who's commenting has finished the poem.
Well, yeah, but I had just seen the post. I was getting ready to read it, and I was like, oh, I already know how it ends. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's not your fault that it was there, but that's why I was like, come on! We got to work on spoilers. But, hey, I thought that was a great piece.
Okay, so I'm going to be reading at the open mic. We have an open mic at the library on Monday night, and I will be baking for that, too. I'm going to be baking chocolate chip bars
Very
instead
good.
Of cookies. So I'm in a chocolate chip mood.
I think that could be the name of a poem.
I'm in a chocolate chip mood.
See, that's a good song.
By the way, we're going to see Billy Joel.
Oh, are you?
We're going to see him, yes.
Oh, great.
We're going to see him at the Garden next week, next Saturday.
Not the Garden of Poetry and Prose,
okay,
JT.
Thank you. I was kind of getting there.
The Madison
different garden.
Square Garden that's
different
in
garden.
New York City.
JT's like, I was in the garden all day today, and I didn't see any Billy Joel.
Not even roadies, nothing.
I think that sounds like a lot of fun. I missed Phil Collins this last week here in Denver.
I didn't even know he was still touring.
Well, yeah, he kind of didn't. No one else really knew either until he decided to do it.
This is our third open mic, and they're doing very well. It's small libraries, but we fill up. We get like 20 to 30 people a night, so it's pretty good in a library. Yeah.
Well, you can bring them on over.
I would like to. I will tell them. I try, you know. Anyway, I'm going to get off the phone so the second person can read. And thank you for, you know, I'll be at the return engagement.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Barbara. We appreciate you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Over.
And that was a Barbara. The Barbara is calling from Connecticut. Do you think, what if I just use this accent for the rest of my...
No.
Why not?
Work on it a little bit more.
What do I need to work on? It's my accent. This is actually my real accent. It's been like this the whole time.
Well, disguise it back to an American, please.
Why? Does this upset you?
Yes,
it totally. Upset you because it makes you think of... Does it make you think of France? Does it make you think of revolutionary activities?
No, actually.
All right.
It's all good.
All right, let's go to Dennis, who is currently in Indiana. Hello, Dennis. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Dennis in Indiana, reporting in.
All right. How is it there?
It's good. It's good. First night activities, a lot of poetry, a lot of good stuff.
Oh, happy to hear that. Happy to hear that. And you have George. George is there around you somewhere, huh?
Sure, George is in the house. Yes, he's right here.
So that's great. That's great. Well, we're so happy to hear from you. And what I'll do is I'll clear the stage. We'll have you read it, and then we'll talk after, okay?
All right. Okay, the title of this poem is Howling House. The howling house in Haunted Hills comes alive with midnight chills. The residents will roam till dawn, while mischief, evil, they do spawn. Up sprang the house from a cursed oak, and will each night tell spell is broke. Don't it all stand still and witness sounds all dark and shrill? Don't let the pumpkin faces fool. This is the lair of heartless ghouls who bind you in the shackled chains. This is the place where evil reigns. Beware to travelers of the night. Avoid these woods till first daylight. Less cautious souls that dare come near, they never leave. Their screams you'll hear. If you're brave and seek a thrill, go bungee jump. Stay off this hill. End of poem.
Very, very well done, sir. Great hearing your voice out there.
Yes, it is. I have to tell you, the people in Indiana are very, very friendly, and there are a lot of wonderful poets here.
Oh,
and we keep trying to stir them up to call in, and we'll get a few more calling in before you know it.
Well, hey, we appreciate all those efforts, JT. I've left my job. I'm working on getting things there. My next step is get JT able to leave his job so we can go full time, and we can do crazy things like take road trips out to places.
Wow. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
We're trying.
We're working on it.
We're seeing what we can do here. So, at any rate, Dennis, we appreciate you so much. We're going to be doing a Studio X here, but then after that, we'll have the return. So, we if possible, we'd love to hear from you, but we understand if not.
Okay. Well, I'm going to step aside. Let whoever comes up next, I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Thank you, sir. And that was Dennis calling from Indiana. He's down at the Gathering of Poets. What is the group? I can't remember the name of the group. Is it the Indiana? No, I can't remember the name of the group that they go to. I'll have to ask when he calls in return.
Yeah.
Okay. Or if George is still in the
George
chat room.
Pop it in the chat
room. There we go. So JT, are you ready to queue up the thing?
I am.
Okay. We're going to be heading in now to doing Studio X, but as we get ready to go into Studio X, JT's going to play something special. He's going to play the first single from our album that comes out a week from today. This is Annabelle Lee from our new album, the Songs from the Shining Sea, or Tales from the Shining Sea. My gosh, I'm screwing up the name! Tales from the Shining Sea, and it's new readings of Edgar Allan Poe's work with new music. Please enjoy Annabelle Lee.
It was many and many a year ago, in a kingdom by the sea, that a maiden there lived who you may know by the name of Annabel Lee. And this maiden she lived with no other thought than to love and be loved by me. I was a child, and she was a child, in this kingdom by the sea. But we loved with a love that was more than love, I and my Annabel Lee. With the love that the winged seraphs of heaven coveted her and me. And this was the reason that, long ago in this kingdom by the sea, a wind blew out of a cloud chilling my beautiful Annabel Lee, so that her highborn kinsmen came and bore her away from me, to shut her up in a sepulchre in this kingdom by the sea. The angels, not half so happy in heaven, went envying her and me. Yes, that was the reason, as all men know in this kingdom by the sea, that the wind came out of a cloud by night, chilling and killing my Annabel Lee. But our love, it was stronger by far than the love of those who were older than we, of many far wiser than we, and neither the angels in heaven above nor the demons down under the sea can ever dissever my soul from the soul of the beautiful Annabel Lee. For the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabel Lee, and the stars never rise but I feel the bright eyes of the beautiful Annabel Lee. And so, on the night tide, I lay down by the side of my darling, my life and my bride. In her sepulchre, there by the sea, in her tomb, by the sounding sea.
All right, everyone. We are here in Studio X. Thank you so much for listening to that. It's something that we're really proud of. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for us to put out. That comes out a week from Friday. There's a bunch of other pieces and readings and things like that. So it's fun. All right, so I've been doing a lot of these Studio X things.
Yes.
And I took some recommendations of what songs to do. And I'm going to do one or two here, just one second. Let's try this again. Here, JT, can you stall for 1 second, buddy? I'm sorry.
I can stall however much I could. I'm not prepared for that one. I mean, that would be a little weird to read.
It's okay. What we're doing is I'm just...
He's just setting up his live stream for the video. For...
Okay. Well, I forgot to connect to your internet first.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to read it?
No, I got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
I got it. I'm just making this thing work here.
Oh, well, this is good.
All right, here we go. It should be ready.
Great.
Yeah. Now that we're already here and everybody's waiting on you, Michael, whenever you're ready. Okay.
Okay, here we go. I think we're about ready.
All right.
All right. It's not working for whatever reason. I'm just going to do the song.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Okay.
For some reason, it's just being strange. All right. So here's the suggestion I had as a song. This is do I want to introduce what this is? Yeah. This is Billie Eilish, Bad Guy, is a suggestion done, I think, a little
differently.
Okay.
Because I promised some other people I'd do this. So.
Oh, cool. Okay. So you're just going to set it to record.
I'm just going to record it, and I'll put it up later.
Perfect.
Okay. Here we go. New version. Shut now, red your blood and no sleeping. I'm on your tippy toes, creeping round like nobody knows. Why am I so criminal? Bruises on both your knees for me. Don't say thank you or please. I do what I want when I want into my soul. So cynical. So I'm a tough guy, like a really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just so always puff guy. I'm the bad type, make your daddy sad type, make your boyfriend mad type, might seduce your mom type. I'm the bad guy.
Naturally.
Thank you, JT. You like it when I take control, even if you know that I don't own you. I'll let you play the role, you can be my animal. Your mommy likes to sing along with you, but she won't sing the song if she reads all the lyrics. She'll pity the girls I know. I'm a tough guy, like a really rough guy. Just can't get enough guy, just go always puff guy. I'm the bad type, make your daddy sad type, make your boyfriend mad type, might seduce your mom type. I'm the bad guy.
Naturally.
Right. Now, I want to say thank you to JT for helping me on that one.
That was fun.
That's a fun one. All right. Can we do a couple others? Is that cool with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do one that kind of fits along with that one, though. Here we go. I put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
But it stopped the things you do. I ain't lying. I put a spell on you. 'Cause you're mine. Better stop the things you do. I ain't lying. I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, baby. Can't stand it 'cause you put me down. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Oh, yeah. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you anyhow. I don't care, you don't want me, I'm yours right now. I put a spell on you, 'cause you're mine. I put a spell on you, because you're mine. Oh.
I know we played two. Do one more?
Cool.
All right. This is a little bit different of a feel than that one. But you inspired me with you playing Depeche Mode earlier, so figure. Let me change the key real quick.
To the key of E? Sorry.
E flat. Yeah. Or D sharp, depending on if you're fancy or not. Here we go.
Put it on and don't say a word. Put it on, the one that I prefer. Put it on and stand before my eyes. Put it on, please don't question why. Can you believe something so simple, something so trivial, makes me a happy man? Can't you understand? Say you believe just how easy it is to please me. Because when you learn, you'll know what makes the world turn. Put it on, I can feel so much. Put it on, I don't need to touch.
because you realize and you believe something so worthless serves a purpose, makes me a happy man. Can't you understand? Say you believe just how easy it is to please me, because when you learn, you'll know what makes the world turn.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. I think we're going to be heading into the return engagement. That means anybody who wants to call in for the first time, you can. Anybody who wants to call in for the second time and share something else, this is your time. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here. Time for the return engagement. Otherwise known, when JT's ready, as
the return engagement.
Smooth. Engagement.
Engagement.
Always.
Like a baby's bottom. So, actually, that should be a thing we add to that. Like a baby's bottom. Be like, oh, that's where the narrator from SpongeBob SquarePants started working after the fact.
That's right.
Here in Bikini Bottom. Oh. JT just hates this accent. I just keep milking it.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny to me that you have a problem with the French Revolution.
It is. It is so weird that I have this problem.
And you're aware of the comedy in it. It's
absolutely.
It's not like you're actually rabidly have a philosophical problem with the French Revolution.
No.
It's just you're a little sick of it. You're just not into it.
Yeah.
Kind of like The Lion King.
Yeah.
Which is even funnier because you weren't there for either one of them.
That's right.
So how are you sick of something you've never been a part of?
Because it's all I heard.
Oh, from
your kids. Yeah, it was just nothing. It was nothing but Lion King stuff.
Really? So I could like... I know that your powers of retention are as slick as a warthog's backside. Songs like that?
No. It's all the upbeat ones. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's cool. Hey, we got seven great callers lined up here during this, and we hope you enjoyed the thing from Annabelle Lee, or the Annabelle Lee single from Tales from the Shining Sea. Of course, that comes out, the whole thing, next week. We'll have a link for everybody here who listens to the show to download it, but it'll also be going up eventually. It might not be up there in time, but it'll be up on Apple Music and Spotify and all that stuff too. But for the people who listen to the show, we'll just get you something where you can download it. No big deal. All right, let's just head to our first caller. Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Hey, Jim. How's it going, sir? All right.
Are you going to keep on using that accent?
I think I might.
Your mother was a hamster.
Yes, I know. I love doing that. I will.
Dig it.
Yes, I'm French.
So you're going to taunt me a second time.
Exactly.
Yep,
exactly.
Okay.
We always knew, ever since I was a young child, we all knew it was going to end this way, Jim, that I was just going to be, going around doing that Monty Python French accent the whole time.
Well, you know, there's the French peas from VeggieTales.
That is true. That is true. You know, I actually knew the guy who was the cowboy cactus on VeggieTales.
Ah.
Yeah. His name's Babe Humphrey. He lives in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Ah.
That's awesome.
So anyway, so what do you have for us, sir?
Well, I had thought about doing the one I read on Wednesday because there's people had heard it, but they seem to want to hear me do what I just did last night. Similar vein.
Okay.
The romantic side of a loveless man. Lips tasting of tap water. Phantom arms wrapped about his empty air. invisible eyes gazing down, windows of a fictional soul, no more real to him than a lover from a long-forgotten dream. End of poem.
Another really solid, you know, powerfully done. I mean, compact, though, right? As is your style. I really do enjoy that.
Thank you.
So, so I've been enjoying your book. I've been reading your book quite a bit, and I was wondering, you know, I really feel like the next time you do a book, Jim, you should call it something like, you know, wit is the essence of, or brevity is the essence of, and then just not say anything.
Well, I actually, a guy had made a comment on the. It was either Experience the Other Name for Autumn or This Is Not a Poem About the Rain. And he referred to it as an extravagant way of saying nothing.
Yeah.
So I think that might be a good title.
Oh, there you go.
That is a good title.
Huh. Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it, too. Of course, and I look like, what's this book about? Oh, I get it now.
And it's the same guy that gave me the idea for cricket game music on the Cricket Game of Life.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Well, sir, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we will talk to you hopefully on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's we know the next show's on the 28th.
Let's see. What day is no, so we're doing next Wednesday and or this coming Wednesday and Friday. So we're doing every Wednesday and Friday until November 1st.
But the next show, is it the 28th or the 27th?
I don't know. JT, do you have the calendar up?
The next Friday night show will be the 25th.
Yeah, so we're doing the 23rd on Wednesday, the 25th on Friday. Then we're doing the 30th.
Yep.
And then that's our last one of the month. So this will be 9 shows in 1 month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the 27th is Sylvia Plath's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, let's add another show. No, I'm totally kidding. We're not going to add another show. Yeah. She's like, not going to happen.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So I'll have to time it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll just kind of do some Sylvia Plath stuff on the 25th.
Yeah, that'll work.
Yeah. And then I have to go preside over the wedding of one of my best friends on the 1st. So I'm that's a poem because they asked me to write the vows and everything. And or not the vows, but the whole thing. And I almost called it a eulogy.
Yeah, it's definitely not that.
It's not a eulogy. I have to write that. And so no pressure from a writing poetic standpoint, of course.
No pressure at
all. No pressure at all. You know, I'm up for it. Whatevs. All right. Hey, thank you, Jim. We appreciate you, buddy.
Dilly dilly.
Nope.
Dilly dilly.
Nope. You can keep that and put it back in your pocket. All right. We'll talk to you later, Jim. Thanks.
Have a good one.
All right.
You know, I like pickles as much as the next guy, but that's just too much dill. All right. We're going to.
Well said.
You like that? Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. And you know, if you noticed, we haven't mentioned the Broncos once tonight.
No.
Until now. I'm talking about. Let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia, and talk with Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia. Welcome back.
Okay. It's a great show.
Yeah, it's been going pretty well, I think.
So I'm going to read one of mine for this segment. It's a small one.
Okay.
So this is called The Softness of Autumn. I stepped into the day among the trees who quietly hold our wonder. The questions I once sought answers to now rest as poems, elegant in the mystery of existence. Like a soft light over the Italian countryside, an invitation to dance in the rhythms of nature, restored to self, reasonable expectations, an invitation home. End of poem.
Very well done.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love hearing you read your own work too. I think hearing you read the Virgil, of course, was really good. But of course, a poet has a connection to their own work in a special way. And
yeah, there's something about reading your own and also about preparing.
Of course.
I might have owned it a bit more. But.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, I think that's also a great thing right there.
Yeah, like, it's you know, in acting and theater, like, you're supposed to learn the text, then make it your own.
Right.
And find yourself in it.
Yes.
Not just squint at it off the internet and guess at how to pronounce it.
You just described my life, Cynthia. Yeah.
But we live in a busy time, right? So we've got to.
I guess.
And I was wondering, have you been to Italy, Michael?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I haven't been, but my partner from university was there with his family, and he sent me all these, like, he's this really amazing photographer, and they were showing me all these photos, and it just the light there just looked so beautiful.
The light in itself, and I've been thinking about that, the light in different places is just so different. You can tell by the light that you're in a different place in the world. And
I was just so blown away. But he just had all these videos of first thing in the morning how the light looked in Italy, and it was so exquisitely beautiful. I'd love to go there one day.
Oh, you absolutely should. Look up Norwegian Air, because those ticket prices are insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Not to be confused with the Columbia in South America.
Very true.
They're very different places.
Yeah, that Vancouver down there is totally different than the
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
No, yep, sorry. That's the Vancouver that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Let's go to Philip in Kentucky, not to be confused with the other Kentucky. Hey, Philip, how's it going?
It is going better than fair to middling, sir.
Well, that's good to know. That's a great place to start, as they say.
In fact, I can add that I got a new pair of slippers today.
What?
I tell you, it doesn't get much better than that. I know, right? I'm getting spoiled.
You know, it's kind of crazy. I did a thing I swore I would never do. And JT, you know, for years now, I have this issue during the winter. My feet get really cold, okay? Everybody's going to laugh, but I don't care. I bought fur-lined boots. And
very good.
And I bought them totally used and way cheaper than, you know. I wasn't spending $200.
Yeah,
I spent them for like $30. But at the same time, it has changed the game for me, Philip. It has totally changed the game. Now my feet are the hottest part of my body.
Well, let's not judge too quickly, sir. Let's see you in your Fruit of the Looms and the new boots.
Woo-hoo!
And then go running through town.
Running through town. I still, JT, I think you and I still need to do things like go get a bunch of scuba equipment and go down to like the big tuba celebration they do downtown every year. There's one day where all these people play tubas.
Right.
It's called like Tuba Tuesday or something like that. We should go down and have a picture of us taken just really looking disappointed, dressed in scuba gear with all these tubas in the background.
Yes.
I think the whole thing of me running around in boots and underwear would probably be just along the lines of that.
It would. It might get you arrested, but it would.
We all knew this was going to happen eventually.
All right.
You defy good taste, sir.
I guess I'm going to be joining him in jail.
I haven't. You can say I defy good taste, but I just prefer to call it having an indomitable spirit. But okay.
An indomitable spirit. That's also a sobriety test, you know. Can you say indomitable?
It's like the abominable snowman. It's an abominable spirit.
Indomitable rubber baby buggy bumpers.
There we go.
Yes, there you go. Perfectly. Okay, so speaking of that, what do you have for us?
I am going to share a piece as best I can. I always feel shy about sharing other people's work, but I think it's a good process to do that. And I'm going to read something by a man named Adam Zagajewski. I don't know if you're familiar with his work at all.
I'm not.
No. Okay, and his last name is spelled Zagajewski, Zagajewski, Adam Zagajewski. And the piece I am reading is called Blake, not Blake Edwards, but the Blake. So Blake, here we go. I watch William Blake, who spotted angels every day in treetops, and met God on the staircase of his little house and found light in grimy alleys. Blake, who died singing gleefully in a London thronged with streetwalkers, admirals, and Miracles, William Blake, engraver, who labored and lived in poverty but not despair, who received burning signs from the sea and from the starry sky, who never lost hope, since hope was always born anew like breath. I see those who walked like him on graying streets, headed toward the dawn's rosy orchid. And there it is.
It's a great piece.
I think the staccato nature of that is I found really interesting, and I liked the delivery of it specifically.
Yeah, well, thank you. And he's not English is not his native tongue, and I don't know if he translates his own work or not, but yeah, I really dig him. I reread him, and so happy to share poets with other poets.
We love that.
And thank you so much for having me on the show. It was great hearing you sing, and thank you for everything you do.
Hey, you got it. Thank you, sir. We appreciate you as well.
All right. Be well. Cheers, and have a good evening.
Hey, you as well.
Thank you, Phil.
All right. Bye.
Thank you. We'll do.
That was Philip calling from Kentucky, where they were going to go if Last of the Mohicans did not take place. If they weren't just walking through the forest and they saw tracks of, and I'm talking the movie version here, saw tracks of a Huron war party, and they followed it, and then they caught it in the middle of massacring a British company, and they saved two girls and one major. And then, ended with Russell Means going, "I am the last of the Mohicans." everything would have been okay if they just got to Kentucky, as Daniel Day-Lewis says it.
Right.
All right. Let's go now to Barbara in Connecticut.
Two girls and then, ended with Russell
Means
going, "I."
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back.
Thank you. Now, I didn't get an answer from Cynthia, but did she read Arms and the Man I Sing?
From Virgil?
Yeah.
I don't remember the title. Cynthia, do you remember the title of what you read? I'm not wondering if she's in it or not. Oh, no, she read the Storm. That's right. Okay.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm going to read this from Virgil. It's from the Aeneid, Book One, Arms and the Man I Sing. Okay, here goes. Arms and the Man I Sing, who forced my fate and haughty Juno's unrelenting hate, expelled and exiled, left the Trojan shore. Long labors both by sea and land he bore, and in the doubtful war before he won the Latin realm and built the destined town, his banished gods restored to rights divine and settled sure succession in his line, from whence the race of Alban fathers. Thing keeps moving. From whence the race of Alban fathers come, and the long glories of majestic Rome. O Muse, it keeps moving. O Muse, the causes and the crimes relate. What goddess was provoked and whence her hate? For what offense the Queen of Heaven began to persecute so brave, so just a man, involved his anxious life in endless cares, exposed to wants and hurried into wars? Can heavenly minds such high resentment show, or exercise their spite in human woe against the Tiber's mouth, but far away an ancient town was seated on the sea, a Tyrian colony, the people made. St-
left out for the war and studious of their trade. Carthage, the name, beloved by Juno more than her own Argos or the Samian shore. Here stood her chariot, here, if heaven were kind, the seat of awful empire she designed. Yet she had heard an ancient rumor fly, long sighted by the people of the sky, that times to come should see the Trojan race, her Carthage ruin and her towers deface. Nor thus confined the yoke of sovereign sway should on the necks of all the nations lay. She pondered this and feared it was in fate, nor could forget the war she'd waged of late for conquering Greece against the Trojan state, besides long causes working in her mind, and secret seeds of envy lay behind. Deep graven in her heart, the doom remained of partial Paris, and her form disdained the grace bestowed on ravished Ganymede, Electra's glories, and her injured bed. Each was a cause alone, and all combined to kindle vengeance in her haughty mind. For this, far distant from the Latian coast, she drove the remnants of the Trojan host. In 7 long years, the unhappy wandering train were tossed by storms and scattered through the main. Such time, such toil required the Roman name, such length of labor for so vast a frame. Now scarce the Trojan fleet with sails and oars had left behind the fair Sicilian shores, entering with cheerful shouts the watery rain and plowing frothy furrows in the main, when laboring still with endless discontent, the Queen of Heaven did thus her fury vent. Then am I vanquished, must I yield, said she, and must the Trojans reign in Italy? So fate will have it, and Jove adds his force, nor can my power divert their happy course. Could angry Pallas with revengeful spleen the Grecian navy burn and drown the men? She, for the fault of one offending foe, the bolts of Jove himself, presumed to throw. With whirlwinds from beneath, she tossed the ship and bare exposed the bosom of the deep. Then, as an eagle gripes the trembling game, the wretch, yet hissing with her father's flame, she strongly seized, and with a burning wound transfixed and naked on a rock she bound. But I, who walked in awful state above the majesty of heaven, the sister wife of Jove, for length of years my fruitless force employ against the thin remains of ruined Troy. What nations now to Juno's power will pray, or offerings on my slighted altars lay? In poem by Virgil.
I'm sure he appreciates you reading that for him. Actually, very well done, Barbara. I know
you.
It kept moving and was kind of frustrating, but thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. I came upon it. I thought it was short enough.
Yeah,
I mean,
thank you for that.
It's Virgil.
Yeah, Virgil. it makes it harder. I know.
It just is like, oh, what can I read from Virgil?
It's like, thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Yeah, I feel Virgil could take some lessons from Jim, you know?
But
yeah.
That poem ended really well. I liked that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Very dynamic. I didn't expect it to be that dynamic because I hadn't read through the whole thing. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I told Cynthia, you know, I think that guy Virgil has a real future in poetry.
He's one of those poets you don't have to read it before, you know, you just
well,
you just know it's going to be good.
Well, you do know it's going to be good. That's the truth. You know, it's a funny fact, though. He actually wanted all of his work destroyed before he died, and the emperor stopped it from happening.
I'm glad they didn't do it because it's so amazing.
It really is. It really is, you know.
And I probably could have gotten my copy because Hal always loved that one. You know, he loved Virgil. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys next. I'll try to get to the Wednesday one. It's hard for me.
It's okay. Yeah, we understand.
Yeah, and Wednesday I'm going. My friend has a one-woman show in New York, and she's going to be doing it in the afternoon, so I probably won't be like up for anything at night. And I will try, but definitely will try to get here on Friday. And everybody's been great tonight, and really, thank you.
Absolutely.
Have a great week.
You too. Thank Bye. You so much, Bubba. Bye.
I like the going away music.
You're welcome.
I will try.
Okay. Edelweiss.
Let's go.
Did he needs to call back,
Mr. Dennis, in Indiana? Would you call us back, please? By the way, I'm just letting everyone else know who's on the hold. So, Mama, Mary, there is a strong chance you're going to have to call us back. So that's up to you. If you stay on the line, great. But chances are you're probably going to have to call us back.
There he is.
Here he is. All right, everybody. Let's welcome Dennis back here calling from Indiana. Hello, Dennis. How are you, sir?
Dennis from Indiana, reporting for duty.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. So, so what's the night like there? What's the weather like there?
Weather is very nice today. It got warm. It's a lot of sunshine, and it's clear. The stars are out tonight. Oh, it's a wonderful day.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds great. The weather is beautiful here as well. So we're just going to sit back, and I'm gonna just let you read, okay? And we'll talk after.
All right. This poem here was written as a challenge to write a poem, a parody of a nursery rhyme or something. So this is what I came up with. I'll tell you up front. This is a parody of The House That Jack Built. And the title is The Tower That Trump Built. This is the tower that Trump built. This is the flower that lay in the tower that Trump built. This is the intern that cut the flower that lay in the tower that Trump built. This is the butler that gave the intern the cutler that she used to cut the flower that lay in the tower that Trump built. This is the house manager that fired the butler that gave the intern the cutler that she used to cut the flower that lay in that tower that Trump built. This is the tower security chief that investigated the house manager and fired the butler that gave the intern the cutler that used to cut the flower that lay in the tower that Trump built. This is the president, the primary tower resident that demoted the tower security, that investigated the house manager, that fired the butler, that gave the intern the cutler that she used to cut the flower that lay in the tower that Trump built. He rehired the butler. Then he went golfing. End of poem.
We really enjoyed that one.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, why not? I think there's so much. I mean, just from a creative perspective, to step out of any politics in itself, there is so much fertile creative ground. There is so much stuff to be written about right now, you know? And I think in history, when we look back, hopefully we don't forget what this has been like. You know, hopefully one day there'll be a history teacher standing in front of their class going, "You should have seen 2017, 18, 19, and part of 20. This was crazy." And, you know, and I think
yes,
there's just
indeed
so much ground. Yeah. And I appreciate the work there.
Well, thank you. It's fun writing parodies.
Yeah.
You can be sassy and still respectful. So.
Yep. Agreed. Yep. Sassy and respectful. That sounds like a T-shirt. Sassy yet respectful.
Yes, a T-shirt. Mm. There you go.
All right. Well, hey, thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it. And hope you have a great time with all the poets there.
Yeah, it's going to be a big, big day tomorrow, and we're going to have a wonderful guest keynote speaker here, workshops, more poetry read, and round robins of poetry read.
Nice.
So it's going to be a wonderful day tomorrow, and we're looking forward to it.
That sounds like a lot of fun. All right. Hey, Dennis, thank you so much, sir. Say hi to everybody for us. And even if people don't know us, it's even better if you say that, because then they'll be like, from who? Who are you saying that I should?
Yeah, I'll introduce you to them.
Well, that sounds perfect. That sounds perfect. All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you
soon. Thank you. All right. Thank you. God bless.
And God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling us from Indiana, where he's at a gathering of poets, along with George, actually. And
yes.
Probably a few friends we've talked to in the past, I would imagine. All right, we're going to head now to Arizona, but there could be the caveat. All right, Mary, I was right. You're going to have to give us a call right back. We'll take you live. Mama, if you're listening, it's okay to hang up. We'll just have you call back in, because it's almost veritable that if Mary has to call back in, the next person, you're going to have to as well. All right. Look at it. Here she is right now. Hello, Mary.
Wow, you guys make me wake up right at the end.
I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. So, Mary, thanks for calling us back in, and your description of what it was
You're
like
very welcome.
We love it. So, what do you have for us this time?
All right, I got this little poem that I wrote, and I thank you for letting me share it. It's one that I wrote because I'm in love again, and I tell the people that I sing for. And many of them are old, and you should see their faces when I say this thing. I say, I'm in love again after 27 years of not being in love. Mm. And they look up, and they look at me, and they giggle, and they laugh, and they want to know the story. I said, 27 years. I had given up. There was no such thing as love. And now I feel there is. So this is something I wrote about that. You make me swoon for you. Moon for you, sing a different tune for you, an entirely different view for you. You've come upon the narrow of my mind, you see, broadened it from being alone to giving me a starry hope again, comfort in the dead of night when no one else can hear my screams. You kiss away the stains left on my cheeks, and the world calmly bends down to feel us breathing there, entwined. We build our universe upon the stars, the ones we fortify ourselves. In sacred moments we spend together, giving each other pleasure in this untamed world. The world I spend with you, my love, the one that swoons for you. End poem. Mm.
There's always so much soul in this stuff, Mary. Really, thank you. But also, I mean, really, we're very happy that you're you know, you choose to join us and share your work, and it helps us feel that too, and access little, you know, that for a little bit.
You know, there's few things that I'll say in this world anymore, but I'll say it when you have a good gathering of good minds sharing good thoughts. I don't know if there's much things better.
I'd agree.
Thanks for joining in. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys have a good night.
You too, Mary.
You too. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Until next time.
See you then. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, as if there could be any confusion about who that was reading what.
Right.
All right. Now, Mama Oladeji, give us a call back. We are ready to take your call. I saw she tried to call in a little bit during Mary's. We can't answer when it happens. We weren't blowing you off, Mama. We couldn't answer you when she was on the line without interrupting it. All right, let's see. Should I do a Mama? Oh, wait. Nope.
Nope.
Okay, we'll do a Waiting for Mama song.
put on your shoes, go out into the morning. The day is waiting for you to come alive. Go out and feed your mama.
Your llama.
Hello?
I meant to say that. Hello, mama. I was going to do something that rhymed with llama and mama and bring you on the show, but I totally botched that. So, mama, welcome back. Thank you so much for calling us back.
Dalai Lama?
Well, I was going to say something like, go outside and feed your llama. It's time to take a call from mama. But I totally screwed that up.
How about your mama don't want no drama?
There you go. So I can start here. Let's see.
Your mama don't want no drama. So let's go hear from mama.
There you go.
All right. So now that I've lost my pee, let me. I might have to do the peace card. No drama. Your mama.
Well, I can stall, Mama. If you need me to stall for a minute, I can do it.
Yeah, stall for a minute.
Okay, ready?
Okay.
Let's see. What should I do?
Found it.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Well nice. Done, Michael. Good stalling.
Just playing that G chord. That made everything happen right there.
Yeah, that was a closed-end G chord. You got to do an open-ended G chord.
There you go.
Okay. The name of this piece, I was trying to find a humorous piece for y'all, but I'm going to stay spiritual. And the name of this piece is called God Does Not Tie His Instructions. And it goes like this. God of creation did not send us here without instructions. He did not hide it in books with strange languages. Neither does God give messages to some while leaving others to run amok, looking for muck. God of creation, the omniscient mind, left clear and unmistakable directions for the people of planet Earth, for those who live in the city and the country as well. For those who can read and for those who cannot, for the rich, for the poor, for the meek and the proud, for the blind and the seeing, for the genius and the dunce. Sometimes the seeing can't see, and the genius thinks it's all his ideal and proudly eases God out. The fickle-minded depends totally upon man, while those who are deep hears God's message more clearly than the hearing. Where is this message, these directions? Where are these instructions if not in a book? And if they're intended for all, where be this message guide that you claim is from God? It's that peace that passes understanding from that infinite mind source. It is that love, that truth, that soul, the heart, the brain, those lungs, that creative, wise, and conscious voice that speaks life's breath within your breast. The spirit of God's breath exists inside. That map in us, we must search and seek. That self-talk, when we meditate and relate. The pains we feel when we make mistakes. That relief we feel when all goes well. Search yourselves and just keep still. That glow of knowing that we all have done God's will. Our treasures are buried deep within, available to all who are willing to venture inside and take instruction from where our Creator resides. Not everything in those books is half-truth, but the whole truth has been scrolled on your soul. So stop searching high and low, being inundated with lies from the outside, as you're ignoring the epistles that are plainly written there inside. In peace.
JT, what'd you think of that one, buddy?
That was a beautiful piece, Mama. That was really beautiful.
He was smiling and nodding, listening to that thing.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
Some great work.
Okay.
We appreciate you, Mama. Thank you so much for spending your time with us and calling in.
Thank you. I do. I can't wait every Friday. I'm trying to do Wednesdays. I tried to do last Wednesday, but I couldn't get in.
Hey, we understand. We understand. We're around, you know. By the way, I wanted to tell you. I haven't gotten a chance to tell you yet. I have seen your emails for the anthology. So thank you for that.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
I wanted to let you know that I did see that.
Yeah, because I couldn't do it at first. I was having a lot of trouble trying to get so many in there, and then I sent them to you, and I took them out of your inbox, and then I tried it again. So thank you.
You got it. You nailed it. You did.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Thank you. All right, Mama. We'll talk to you next time, okay?
Okay.
All right. And that was Mama calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Oh, boy. It's been a good week here, huh?
Yeah. Good show.
Good show. Everything's going real well.
Oh, now it's just going to break. Well done.
Well, you know what I'm thinking?
Yes, sir.
Are you okay if, I mean, and you can say no. What if could I do one more song as we close?
Sure.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of feeling like it tonight. I feel like playing a lot of songs tonight.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to sing though.
Oh, okay. Now we're, I'm kidding.
You know what? Yeah, I think I found what I'm going to do actually.
You still plugged in?
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
All right, here we go.
Your guitar is on.
Is it?
Yeah.
Could you give me, okay, so what I'm going to say real quick before we jump into this.
Yes.
I'm going to say the goodbye, okay? So everyone, want to say thanks so much once again for listening. We'll be back, of course, on Wednesday with a new edition at 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And, of course, we'll be back next week on Friday at 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time as well, also for the release of Tales of the Shining Sea. We want to say thank you to everyone for joining us, being with us tonight. From Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from JT and myself, thank you so much. Good evening, and we'll see you next time. Right. Thank you. I feel like I want to sing this one for, you know, there's a lot of politics out there right now. There's so much of that noise, and rightfully so. But there's a lot of people who give everything they can to the people around them. And I think we see it in the smaller actions. You know, I see it in churches where I see families and people who dedicate their time and their money. I see people who genuinely dedicated to taking care of each other as far as paramedics and people who work in the front line of hospitals and things like that. And I just thought this song kind of worked for it. Let's try this. I don't remember how I felt. I never thought I'd live to read about myself in my hometown paper, how my brave young life was forever changed in a misty cloud of pink vapor. Darling, give me your kiss. Only understand I am the nothing man. Around here, everybody acts the same.
around here, everybody acts like nothing's changed. Friday night, club meets at Al's Barbecue. The sky is still the same unbelievable blue. Darling, give me your kiss. Let me understand. I am the nothing man. I am the nothing man. You can call me Joe. Buy me a drink and shake my hand. You want courage? I'll show you courage you can understand. The pearl and silver resting on my night table. It's just me, Lord. I pray that I am able. Darling, give me your kiss. Only understand I am the nothing man. I am the nothing man.
So it might be a silly, overdramatic message as we end this. I just want to send a message out to everyone. When it feels like you're writing something and no one's listening, but it feels like you're doing something that's futile and that no one really cares, the reality is the little actions, the little things we do, the pieces we write, the actions we take, the ways we help each other, they actually do matter. And you matter. And don't discount yourself because of the scale. Good evening.